is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The suspect in the killing of UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson has waived extradition and will soon be on his way from Pennsylvania to New York. When he arrives, Luigi Mangione will face an 11-count indictment, including first-degree murder and terrorism. An appeals court in Fulton County, Georgia, ruling that DA Fonnie Willis should be disqualified in President-elect Donald Trump's election interference case. ABC's John Santucci with more on what happens next.
The DA and the DA's office, the Fulton County District Attorney's Office, is completely removed from this case. Does not mean the case goes away. Georgia has a policy that when this happens, it basically goes to a board of other DAs, and they decide on another office in the counties around Fulton that would pick it up. So another district attorney would then take the case.
President-elect Trump and Elon Musk stepping in to help kill a bipartisan spending plan that would have averted a government shutdown next week. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
There's new information in the Madison school shooting. From the names of the victims to a man police say was planning an attack of his own. Madison Bureau Chief Savannah Tomei Olson continues our coverage.
The Dane County Medical Examiner's Office released the names of the two people shot and killed at Abundant Life Christian School. They are 14-year-old Ruby Vergara and 42-year-old Aaron Michelle West. The report says they died of, quote, homicidal firearm-related trauma, end quote. Ruby's family chose to publicly post her obituary. They wrote that she was a big reader and played keyboard in the family band and loved to sing. She has a brother and had a special bond with her pets, cat Ginger and dog Coco. Meanwhile, West was a long-term substitute teacher at Abundant Life Christian School and also has kids who go there. And more new information. Two people shot are still in the hospital fighting for their lives. We've learned the other four who are expected to recover are now home. Meanwhile, a California judge has ordered a man who was allegedly talking to the shooter and planning an attack of his own to surrender his weapons. Court documents show the FBI served a 20-year-old man in Carlsbad, California, with a gun violence restraining order. According to the documents, the man was texting with the shooter and told her he would arm himself with guns and explosives to target a government building. Now, this gun violence restraining order is a civil issue, not a criminal one. We often call these red flag laws. They allow law enforcement to temporarily seize the weapons of someone who's been deemed a threat to themselves or to others. California has red flag laws. Wisconsin does not. And here at home, Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes says the shooter had two handguns, but only used one of them. He says federal authorities are tracing both firearms. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Wisconsin at the wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After learning their top wide receiver, Will Pauling, is entering the transfer portal, the Wisconsin Badgers football team added a prospect from Ohio State, 6'3" Jaden Ballard, leaving the Buckeyes for the Badgers. NFL, the Packers begin 3 days of practice through the weekend as they host the New Orleans Saints on Monday night. College basketball, Marquette with a Big East Conference win over Butler, 80-70. Cam Jones with 23 points. The UW Green Bay Phoenix losing at home to Division II Michigan Tech, 72-70. Head coach Doug Gottlieb, under fire for still hosting a national sports talk show, is now 2-11, losing their last eight in a row.
It doesn't feel good, but I think when you say rock bottom, it would lead you to believe that, like, Michigan Tech is some, like, schlummy team. Like, they got some really good players, they're very well coached, and they're on a win streak. And the big thing is, the hardest thing to teach in coaching is how to win.
As Green Bay head coach Doug Gottlieb with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Snow is likely today and tonight. We could get about 2 to 4, maybe a little more, inches of snow by the time it winds down late tonight into tomorrow morning. It could also be breezy at times, especially tonight, which could create some blowing snow. 30 today, 23 tonight. Conditions improve tomorrow with a high of 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Almaz Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Almaz Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Schwab.
On the next Nightlight, world-famous podcaster and comedian Jimmy Pardo makes the popcorn pick of the week. And performing live in the studio are the Doctors in Recital. That's how you light it up holiday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Mayer on Air. Jane Matt Mayer, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Very busy show coming up for you today. Kevin Solomon from Common Ground is going to be joining us at 10:33 after the 10:30 news. To talk about the Milwaukee Housing Authority and Willie Hines, who has been the head of that agency for quite some time, his retirement, and what is going on with these properties that the city of Milwaukee runs. They've had years of complaints, years of problems. So we're going to get an update from Kevin Solomon coming up after the 10:30 news. Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot next hour at 11:20. JR, Journal Sentinel, rather, sports guru JR Radcliffe will be here at 11:33. And of course, we'll wrap up the show at 11:51 with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hot Doctor edition. I encourage you to stick around for that. Just a reminder as well, 2 days left, Greg Bach and Calvin, 2 days left for the Civic Media statewide text win grown-up gift list contest. Next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, we will have a keyword for you that you will need to text in using the Civic Media app. And then you could pick up either an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells or a nice $100 bill, which would come in handy as we are less than a week away from Christmas. Of course, everyone who enters, whether you win an hourly prize or not, is in the running for one of 8 grand prizes, including a set of luggage, an espresso machine, robot vacuum, and you're going to want this now, the snowblower, because it's snowing. Is it snowing there yet?
Not yet. Not down here.
I'm on the northwest side of Milwaukee, and it started about 9:30.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. We're not supposed to be getting in until later this afternoon, and we'll hear more from Brittany today on it, but yeah.
Absolutely. But if you are going to be on the roads today, just keep in mind they do expect the heaviest snowfall between 11 a.m. today and 11 p.m. tonight. So this afternoon, and I would be just thinking about your drive home tonight because things might be getting a little bit tricky by that point. So Keep that in mind. And it's always a good reminder as well to download the 511wi.gov app, and that will give you a map of the entire state of Wisconsin and show you where every accident is, where every closing is. It's really useful. I know you use the app, Greg.
Mm-hmm. You could even read the overhead signs to see if there's accidents reported and whatnot. And, you know, it's a very, very helpful. It's a great app. It's great on your computer as well. Very informative. 511wi.gov. Get that app today.
Yeah. Check it out. It's really handy, especially on days like today. Mm-hmm. Yes, Brittany will be here next hour to give us an update on the snow. I'm sure she's very excited about it. A lot of other people less so, but stay tuned for that coming up at 11:20. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. We're going to start off the show with an update after that school shooting in Madison. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. California man detained in connection with a Madison school shooting. A 20-year-old California man has been detained on suspicion of plotting to coordinate a mass shooting at a government building in conjunction with that shooting at the Madison School, Abundant Life Christian School, that happened on Monday. The 15-year-old shooter, Natalie Samantha Rupnow, shot and killed a student and a teacher and injured six others. I guess this is a twist I did not see coming. During an FBI interview, this gentleman, Alexander Paffendorf of Carlsbad, California, he admitted to the FBI that he told Rupnow that he would arm himself with explosives and a gun and would target a government building. FBI agents saw the messages between the two. The Madison chief of police said he did not have information about this arrest in California and referred questions to the FBI. But as we continue to find out more details, this is kind of an odd side note.
Well, it brings up something we were talking about on Tuesday, I believe, in our discussion, which, by the way, if you... Yeah, check out our Instagram page. That video, it's the second to last video, is blowing up with lots of participation. But one of the things we talked about in there, and Tony Zimmerman brings up, is that California has red flag laws. So they can do due diligence to do their duty to find out if there's a problem and take care of it before there is a disaster.
Yeah, I think it's important. Was that the segment, Greg, with Mark Pocan?
No.
The Instagram that's getting so much attention?
No, it was the one where we showed parts of the interview with Jon Stewart. He was on that day. And that, so if you go to our, if you go to Instagram.com, look up Matt and Air on Air, follow us. That video is there with Mark Pocan, where he's talking about the fact that interviews were canceled because there weren't enough dead people to be interesting. There weren't enough dead people. If there were more dead people, it'd be more interesting people. But that's in there. But then also when we showed that clip of Jon Stewart interviewing Nathan Dom, who is a state senator from Oklahoma,
yes.
Oklahoma, mm-hmm. I think, yeah. Yeah.
Getting lots of attention, that Instagram. Not all of it so loving, I understand.
A lot of people with a lot of opinions that basically telling me to move to Austria. Yeah.
Austria?
Yeah, they don't know the difference between a continent and a country and another country and whatever. So, you know, it's like, that's the thing is, for me personally, I think it's kind of funny because they're just throwing out wrongitudes. And also a lot of people thinking we're trying to take their guns. We've said dozens of times over the past year, we don't want to take, we don't have the power to. Jane, I don't know about you. And Calvin, I don't know about you.
I'm pretty sure we don't.
I don't have the power to take anyone's. I don't have the power to take anyone's, like, you know, dessert, let alone guns. So, yeah, it's, if you want to go and see some great stuff, you can subscribe to us on Instagram. You can also, you can follow us on all the social medias. But that video particular with the Jon Stewart clip is getting a lot of attention. I think it's got about 1,100 comments at this point.
Wow, that's a lot. Well, I give you a lot of credit for checking out the comments because you're much braver than I. I just find that I don't need that much hate on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally get it. For me, it's hilarious. It feeds me.
What amazes me, though, is when we talked about that on Tuesday, we said a number of times, this isn't about taking away your guns.
No.
It's not about taking away your guns. It's about gun safety.
Gun safety.
Gun safety for all of us.
Which a majority of the Americans, they've been talking about for years, agree upon. And, you know, one of the examples people keep on bringing up in the comments, they say, no gun has ever killed a person. I'm like, okay, I see your logic there, but no car then has ever killed a person. We still regulate cars. We still require you to have a license. We require you to take a driver's test. We require you to be prepared to drive a 2,000 to 3,000 pound killing machine.
Yeah.
So your comparison doesn't work in the long run. And a majority of Americans believe in common sense gun safety guidelines.
We're not, I don't understand why this is considered so extreme that a universal background check is something that's so outside the realm of what is acceptable. That's a baseline.
Yeah.
That's just should just be the baseline.
And it's to the point, though, for me personally, when people get so cooked up about it, I just have to respond with, oh, okay, I get. I mean, like, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me. I register my dog every year. I'm not sitting there going, my dog has a right to exist, freedom. No, I go to the office. I pay them $14. They give me a little piece of metal. My dog is, there you go. You know, it's like, it's the more and more angry they get. And granted, I will admit, you know, there's like 1,100 comments. I'm going to guess that a fair amount of them are coming from comment factories where they're just using algorithms to generate comments. But there are some people in there who are real and very, very upset. And I just don't understand why they are so upset about this. Like just the mentioning of red flag laws gets them upset. I'm like, okay, well, besides yelling at me that the Second Amendment is the most important thing on earth, what else do you got?
Yeah, I don't get it. Dave from New Berlin texting in says, I saw that interview with Jon Stewart and the senator from Oklahoma. Why any Republican would climb into a room with Jon Stewart is beyond me.
Yep.
He is a fantastic interviewer, and he's got the facts at his fingertips, man. He knows what he's doing.
He's not looking at paper at all. They're all up in the noggin. Seriously, he knows everything, and he comes prepared.
If you haven't seen it yet, you can go to YouTube, and I'm sure if you just search for Jon Stewart, and it was Nathan Dahm, D-A-H-M,
yeah.
From Oklahoma. It's about a 20-minute interview. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's really, really interesting. Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about some of the latest developments after the shooting Monday at the Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. Another piece from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Eva Wen. This is Wisconsin's deadliest year for school shootings. Since 1969, there have been 48 shootings at schools in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, however, saw 26 school shootings in just the past 3 years. That's more than the total number of school shooting incidents in the past 50.
Yeah. That one right there, that statistic, 26 in 3 years. And we're still doing nothing.
And we still do nothing.
But Jane,
which is why we're going to.
It's the price we pay.
Oh, right. It's the price we pay. We pay for freedom, apparently, in this country. Well, we're going to keep talking about it until something gets done.
We'll be here for a long time.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Patience is a virtue.
Yes. You're right.
When we return. Goat in Wisconsin. We're going to kick this around.
I mean, I imagine there are goats in Wisconsin. There are blood of goats.
Yeah, but I think this is a different kind of goat that would be based in Madison, of all places. We'll have all the details coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. Chains.
From the center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot will join us with a little weather and wine. Yes, we do have snow. Snow is coming down in some parts of the state. Tom on the live stream said his sister in Rome said the snow is falling beautifully right now. That might not be the case a little bit later on today. They think maybe between 3 and 6 p.m. might be the heaviest, and that's not necessarily going to be great for your evening commute. So just plan ahead, and maybe you can dash out a little bit early, a little bit later on today. So Brittany will be here to give us an update an hour from now. I wanted to share this just because it made me do a spit take when I saw it this morning. The headline reads from Lauren Schulte and Hope Carnop from Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Robin Voss to create government efficiency committee inspired by Elon Musk's Doge.
Oh, that's what you
meant. And they're going to call it, GOAT, Governmental Oversight, Accountability, and Transparency Committee.
No. I hate this so much.
Does anyone else see the irony like I do that the least productive state legislature in the country, the least productive state legislature, is now forming a committee about efficiency? That's hilarious.
They efficiently do nothing.
Robin Voss said they're going to focus on kind of returning to our roots. Republicans have always been reformers. We are the ones who invented workers' compensation all the way up until school choice, but we have more work to do. Amanda Nedweski from Pleasant Prairie will be the chair of the new committee. Robin Voss said using technology like AI, the committee will explore ways to improve services for Wisconsinites in more cost-effective ways. I think we can look at a lot of ideas and try to find ways to make government do a better job than we currently are. I'm super excited that we're going to now kind of focus on not just how we layer more things on, but how do we make the things that we already have work better?
I don't know. Maybe just do something.
You know what would make our government work better? Not spending millions and millions of taxpayer dollars chasing claims of election fraud for a couple of years. That would be a really good way to not be wasteful.
I have something they could do that would help and get things done. Money that's allocated for things like education, hospitals, and clean water. That money is just sitting there waiting to be efficiently distributed to the various people who need it. How about you start there instead of starting another organization within the government, you small government morons?
Really, though, that's an absolutely valid question. I thought we needed less government, not more. But now we're going to form a committee to make sure that we're being more efficient.
Yep, because that's the world we live. It's the upside down. It's the maybe we're the crazy ones.
Maybe we are.
Yeah,
that's possible. Robin Voss says he is not worried that the Democrats gained seats in the assembly. They picked up 10 in November, but he did say the narrower majority may lead to more disagreements between the two sides. Robin says the challenge that we see, and take Congress as an example, the narrower the margin, the less that gets accomplished. And I'm fearful that that's the way it'll be here. But the good news for Republicans is that we've had wide margins and narrow margins. We're always focused on generating consensus.
Okay. Did ChatGPT write that for you, Robbie? Here's my observation with this, is when you speak to Democrats about the slim majorities, they talk about things like compromise, bipartisanship, working together. Robin Voss likes to talk about we will use the slimmest majority possible and we will jam our agenda down your throat. We will not work together if we don't have to. If we don't have to work together, that's the happiest day of Robin Voss's life. But that's just me. Everyone I know who's a Democrat running in slim majorities are saying, let's get stuff done. Let's work together. Not Robin Voss. He's the goat of divisiveness.
He's the goat of gavel in and gavel out.
Yeah.
And getting nothing done.
Yeah.
Alicia on the live stream, Voss wouldn't know efficiency if it popped up and yelled boo at him.
I just think this is another example. It's like small government GOP people are like, let's create a whole new department to deal with something that's not a problem. Well, it is a problem, but it doesn't need, you can fix it in the committee rooms. You can fix it in over lunches. You can fix it by getting together and working together, not by mirroring Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk. Are you kidding me?
Is he just trying to be one of the cool kids now?
Oh, dude, he's been trying so hard to be one of the cool kids. He is Steve Buscemi going, what do you do, you fellow kids? Like,
it's, hello, fellow kids.
It's just ridiculously embarrassing, and I'm tired of him. I'm so tired of Robin Voss.
Well, and I just think, too, you don't get to call yourself GOAT. That's like giving yourself a nickname. It doesn't work that way.
I'm sure he was probably like, well, you know, I mean, if they would call me the GOAT, that's fine. But I'm really just, it's just about, like, you know, government efficiency. Okay, Robin, that's great.
Yeah, come back and work for another month, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. When you can nail down 4 months of work, we'll talk about you.
Let's chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's chat. News is coming up next. When we return, we're going to talk to Kevin Solomon from Common Ground. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Say you're moving by the national band.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The median estimated poverty rate of children ages 5 to 7 in U.S. school districts in 2023 was 13.4%, according to data released by the U.S. Census Bureau. The new data comes from the 2023 Small Area Income and Poverty Estimates, which provide the only single-year income and poverty statistics for the nation's 3,143 counties and 13,137 school districts. In 2023, county-level median household income ranged from $28,579 to $173,655, with a median income of $62,851 for all counties. Median household income increased in 4.1% of counties and decreased in 5.4% of counties from 2022 to 2023. In 2023, the county-level poverty rate ranged from 3.3% to 49.6%, with a median poverty rate of 13.6% for all counties. The poverty rate decreased in 3.8% of counties and increased in 2.6% of counties from 2022 to 2023. The county-level poverty rate for school-aged children ranged from 2.8% to 66.2%, with a median rate of 17.1%. Small area income and poverty estimate statistics are used to allocate funding under Title I of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. School districts receive Title I funds based on their number of percentage of children from low-income families. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Variety reports that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced the shortlist for the Oscars in 10 categories. Emilia Perez led the way with 6 nominations, and Wicked came in second with 4. Voting to determine the actual nominations will take place January 8th, with nominations being announced January 17th. The 97th Oscars ceremony will air March 2nd of this coming year. Superscribe Taylor Sheridan has received criticism for his role of Travis on Yellowstone. The show's creator has come under fire on social media, with fans saying that they thought it was lame that he wrote himself onto the show and made Bella Hadid his girlfriend, calling it totally unnecessary. Just for the record, folks, Taylor Sheridan has written himself onto other shows as well, including Lioness and 1883. Maybe he's just created so many shows he's running out of actors. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Snow is likely today and tonight. We could get about 2 to 4, maybe a little more inches of snow by the time it winds down late tonight into tomorrow morning. It could also be breezy at times, especially tonight, which could create some blowing snow. 30 today, 23 tonight. Conditions improve tomorrow with a high of 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 23.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at the day's headlines, and we're getting down there. Your final chance to win Growing Up gift list, text to win contest, and fabulous prizes. We'll tell you how to do it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, we can be coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, next Tuesday, Christmas Eve, we're going to have some special programming. Pete Schwabba will be doing a special holiday nightlight from 4 to 6 p.m. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to go to all Christmas music all through Christmas Day. So don't be surprised if you tune in next Wednesday to all of these civic media radio stations, even the talk networks. It's going to be all Christmas music all day long. We'll have news updates for you and weather as well. So we hope you will join us and enjoy the holidays with us. Very glad to have our next guest with us. It's been too long since we've had an update about what's going on with the Milwaukee Housing Authority. Kevin Solomon is here from Common Ground. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
So for folks, Kevin, who are not familiar with this issue with the Milwaukee Housing Authority, give us a little background and bring people up to speed, please.
Yeah, so, you know, 2 years ago, Common Ground, we are a nonprofit coalition of different churches, faith institutions, schools, nonprofits in Milwaukee. As an institution, we started talking with residents in public housing. The Housing Authority of the City of Milwaukee is the second biggest landlord. They have, you know, dozens of properties all over the city. And everywhere we went, we heard the same issues. Black mold, rats scurrying in walls, homicides on the 10th floor of buildings. You know, senior citizens, people who are disabled, people who want to just live peacefully, to retire peacefully, sleeping with baseball bats and knives behind their pillow because they're scared. And we saw that, you know, really at a big level, this was not just individual property issues, but the whole system was flawed. The whole system was poorly run. And we said, we got to do something about this.
This was not always this way with this agency, correct? I mean, some of these folks have been living in these properties for a long time. When did it really start to go south, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, tenants will say the same thing every time. This used to be beautiful. We used to have, you know, this building felt like home. And now it's Bane. Now it's ugly. Now I don't feel safe. You know, that transition for some tenants, it's the COVID pandemic. For some tenants, it's the last kind of 5, 6, 7 years generally. But it almost always matches up with pandemic in the last 3 or 4 years, since Willie Hines, the former now executive director, took over as lead.
What were Mr. Hines' qualifications when he got that position?
I think that's a great question. That's the first question that the federal government asked. They said that he seems to lack the requisite qualifications. They did a search for who would be the associate director in 2014. And he applied, and even though 150-some people applied, he got the job without any interviews, without any thorough investigation, because he was friends with Mayor Tom Barrett at the time. And then, without any national search, he was promoted to executive director from associate to executive, taking in $252,000 a year. Look, he was the former president of the Common Council. He knows a lot of people in town. He's very well-connected. And so he's a powerful person.
Yes, but connected doesn't mean qualified. Unfortunately, it doesn't.
I tend to agree with you. And I think the residents really agree with you. Yes.
So this is from TMJ4. Public housing director gets large pension payout after years of criticism and calls to step down. As you mentioned, Willie Hines has been making $252,000 as the head of the Housing Authority. And now he's going to get $11,000 a month for the rest of his life when he retires next month. Now, he didn't put that deal together. He didn't put together those pension deals. So I think it's important that we clarify that. But at the same time, when the residents heard that, I can't even imagine what their reaction was like.
It was outrage. You know, tenants on average get around $11,000 to $12,000 a year in income. That's the average salary, average Social Security disability check that tenants in low-income housing get. And this guy's getting that every month, plus a 75 grand payout when he retires. Look, I'm with you. I don't begrudge him the fact that he gets a pension. He worked 30 years in some city capacity. He ought to get a pension, no doubt about it. I will say this. He played the system very well, because the pension at the city level is based on your final 3 years of salary. And so it just so happens that at the final 3 years, he raked in 252 grand with no performance reviews, with no evaluation. He played the system very well.
One of the things that was in the, so I'm going to link this into the show notes for today. And Kevin, thank you for letting us know about this, but WTMJ did an investigative report last night and, you know, link this to the mayor. And two things I noticed. One, you know, this is not a story of robbing the city coffers or embezzlement or anything. This is just almost like bureaucratic red tape at its finest. And it seems to be that Mayor Johnson looked very inept in the interview. He didn't really know what was going on, and then says to the camera, he goes, "I've appointed not one, not two, not three, but four." I'm like, well, if you've appointed four and there are still problems, then there needs to be a solution, and you're not talking to people. I mean, we've requested to speak with him on a few occasions, and now they just flat out ignore us. And in the investigative report yesterday, that no one's talking to her. Like they're just blowing past her.
Yeah. You know, I think the mayor has been effective at staying behind the scenes, but he's very intimately involved in this. I mean, look at his track record. He declined to come visit tenants. He said that tenant conditions were overblown. He didn't nominate people to the board for months. And he says he did four, but the federal government says he didn't make it a priority. So I trust the federal government generally. He has all these behind the scenes communications about how to turn 2 day news cycles into one news day cycles. He declined to meet with Common Ground. He called us Trumpian. He supported the privatization of Section 8. He nominated and then withdrew a status quo board member. And he hid the first HUD report for 9 months and this one for 54 days until we pushed and pushed and pushed. So there's been a lack of transparency, not believing residents, and not showing up. It's really disappointing, his leadership on this.
I'm just stunned. I'm just stunned by that. And gee, Kevin, if Common Ground hadn't gotten involved in this, they'd still be at ground zero. Because you guys are the ones who really brought this to the forefront, I think, and brought it to the media's attention.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, you know, certainly Common Ground, we fight and we fight until we win. You know, one of our mantras is we never give up and we never go away. Until there's real change, we're going to keep at it. We had huge allies. We had the president of the Common Council, Jose Perez, has been a huge ally in this. The whole Common Council, you all at the media, Jane, Greg, Calvin, the work that you all have done to make sure that the public knows about this, TMJ4, some of the investigative pieces. It really has been everybody bringing a piece. But I think you're right. I mean, public housing was invisible. People drive past it at 35 miles an hour and think it looks nice and that things are okay. But on the inside, poor people, seniors are crying out for help. And it took somebody to listen and somebody to believe them for this to really become a public issue.
And that's,
I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's one of the things that, you know, this is the third time we've had you on this year. And when you first came on, it was, you were just being absolutely ignored by the powers that be. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think it was like a week ago, I see a story that made me think of Jane and you immediately. It says Willie Hines is retiring now. Because it's time, because he went to the Gulf Coast and he thought that was a really nice time and a nice life. I don't think it's so much that. I mean, he's going to take his money and run, but it's probably because he doesn't want to have to deal with this and actually have to do work and help the people anymore, which is something I guess he's tired of doing after 30 years.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it's also funny. I mean, he told Spectrum News in September something, paraphrasing here, but something like, quote, "I got many working years ahead of me. I'm not going anywhere." And that was just 2 or 3 months ago. And then suddenly he announces a retirement and says that this has been in the works for years.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that must have been a nice jacuzzi overlooking the Gulf of Mexico on Thanksgiving. But he filed for retirement a week earlier. It wasn't a decision that he made over Thanksgiving. We think that one big part of it is that there was this damning HUD report that came out in October that we learned about in November, tried to get a hold of, and everybody, you know, kind of hit it, tried to bury it, the mayor, all these sorts of folks. And I think he knew that this damning HUD report was going to get out and wanted to, you know, hit the high road before any public criticism.
I'm still trying grappling with the fact that the mayor called you guys Trumpian.
Yeah, that one.
In what way is Common Ground a Trumpian in any respect?
You know, it turns out that a nonprofit, nonpartisan collection of faith institutions that listens to ordinary people and upholds their concerns is apparently Trumpian. Look, the critique that we made that got him to say that was we had a public letter tenants signed on to, hundreds and hundreds of tenants signed, that suggested that the mayor was protecting Willie until he could retire in December or in March. If he waited till March, he would have gotten an even bigger pension. And the mayor said, no, that I don't even know how old Willie is. That's Trumpian. And then here we go. As soon as he turns 60 in December, he retires. You know, coincidence, maybe. I think somebody could make the argument. We called it, and we saw what was going on the whole time.
If you're just joining us, Kevin Solomon is our guest. He's with Common Ground, and we're talking about changes at the Milwaukee Housing Authority with the departure of Willie Hines, who is apparently skating off into a pretty nice $11,000 a month, future. He's only 60.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he lives till 80, he's getting close to $2 to $3 million from the city of Milwaukee. See, this is the thing that frustrates me, right? Like, our city does not need to be known for bad public institutions, bad public housing. We don't need to be known for poor management of finances. And it's people like Willie Hines, it's institutions like the Housing Authority that have contributed to this narrative that Milwaukee stinks, that Milwaukee's bad, bad at management.
Yes.
And I think we need to be known for the best public housing in the country. Now that Willie's gone, now that we're doing a national search for replacement, I think there's an opportunity to.
Well, I think one thing, and I don't disagree with you. You know, we see the comments all the time on our videos. We talk about the cities and how they're terrible. That's where apparently all the crime happens, only in the cities. But I think one thing for you, though, Kevin, is that you and the work that Common Ground does is a legacy on protecting Milwaukee and its reputation to the world. Yes. Is that, yes, there's problems with public housing, but we have individuals like yourselves who are working hard to protect so many people who just want to go to bed safe at night.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for saying that, truly, because a lot of people say, oh, Common Ground's just in it to tear down the Housing Authority, just to tear down Milwaukee, just to tear down Willie Hines. And what we've tried to say is, no, we want Hines out so that we can build up, but we can't build up while he's there. And I think we proved that. Look, the mayor said things were getting better last year. Turns out this HUD report in October said it's only gotten worse. Things have gotten worse under Willie and the mayor's leadership. And we need to transform these institutions now that Hines is gone. You know, I think the road is in front of us, not behind of us.
We're going to continue our conversation with Kevin Solomon on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The kids are playing up downstairs. Sisters sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around. Our house in the middle of our street.
From the center, WRCE. Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit usps.com/advantage.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder to be careful if you're heading out on the roads. Snow is falling. 511wi.gov is a great website and a great app, and that will show you all the accidents all over the state. And I'm just taking a look at it now, and they are kind of popping up all over the place. So be careful as you head out. Brittany Merlot will be here at around 11:21 for an update on the weather and what we're going to be seeing. I'm seeing anything from 3 to 6, maybe 5 to 9 inches of snow, depending upon where you are in Wisconsin. Our guest is Kevin Solomon from Common Ground, and we've been talking about the retirement of Willie Hines as the head of the Milwaukee Housing Authority, going off into a very nice future, Mr. Hines, with his $11,000 a month pension, considerably better circumstances than many of the folks who live in this public housing in the city of Milwaukee. This investigative piece, Kevin, from TMJ4, I just want to read this quote from Mr. Hines. Jenna Ray talked to him at a budget hearing. Mr. Hines said, quote, "I am leaving on a high note and I'm getting these things fixed. It takes time. The foundation is in place to address them. And from that perspective, I'm sure in due season, you'll see the benefit of the work that I've been able to do," unquote. It seems to me like the best thing that he's done since he's been there is leave.
I love the one-liners. I love your one-liners. They're so on point.
But look, I mean, seriously, it's what has he accomplished? He hasn't met with the residents. He hasn't responded to their requests. I can't imagine their frustration.
$2.5 million missing money, over 1,175 illegal self-payments, failure to provide accurate and quote-unquote misleading information to the board of the Housing Authority, created a separate development arm, Trevaux, for which he is the only connection to millions of dollars in construction work around the city. Who knows where that money's going? Piles of Social Security cards and tenant private identifying information just sitting in public hallways, a failure to provide decent, safe, and comfortable housing as the lease requires, the first class action lawsuit in the history of Milwaukee by public housing tenants against the Housing Authority for persistent and rampant bedbugs in people's ears, You know, I think the legacy is not great. I think Willie Hines has done a bad job. He should have never had this role. There should have been a national search for a replacement director when Tony Perez, the previous director, left. They broke that precedent for Willie. We're told that he got that job because he agreed not to challenge Tom Barrett as mayor. And then he raked in $252,000 with no oversight, no governance, no accountability. And we have made significant strides in changing that. For the first time ever, city inspectors, for the first time in 79 years, city inspectors now inspect properties that the housing authority has when tenants call with complaints. They otherwise just referred public housing tenants back to their landlord. They had no third party accountability. We changed that. And there's a new board, and they're committed to doing a national search to replace him. Thank goodness for all of that transformation.
Well, and then I want to take back something I just said in the previous segment where it didn't seem like there was anything nefarious going on. You just said quite a few things that if at anything are accusations of absolute impropriety, but if investigated by the authorities could lead to something else. But my guess is that now that he is leaving at the end of this year and maybe not in March, those things will, you know, they'll go away. We'll just forget about those. Well, they're done. The holidays are here. We don't want to worry anybody. He's got a jacuzzi to buy.
He's gone now. There's nothing to worry. Nothing to see here anymore. It's all fine.
Yeah.
He's out of touch.
Yeah.
He's out of touch with the reality. And look, in December 2022, the federal government filed a report that said that there was $3 million of missing money. And they were required to do a forensic audit, which, if you're familiar, forensic audit is a fraud-based investigation audit. That audit is supposed to come out this month. We're eager to see what it finds. Because fast forward 2 years now, December 2024, they still found $2.5 million of irreconcilable finances. So millions of dollars are not accounted for. They're overreporting assets. They're underreporting expenditures. I mean, they're doing a terrible job, and there's no checks and balances within this institution.
Yeah, there just doesn't seem to be any oversight at all. It's, you know, they're operating completely independently with no oversight and no one who has to they have to report to.
Well, here's the kicker. They do have some oversight. The our favorite Mayor Johnson has been step with the housing authority. I mean, talking about how to resolve electricity issues in individual apartments, that's how involved he's been. And the whole time he's been saying the tenant concerns are overblown, that he's not going to come visit properties, that, you know, the allegations we've made are Trumpian, that there's improvements. And for 2 years now, tenants, I mean, Chris Logan, president of Mitchell Court, said it right. We've been gaslit for 2 years, and this report, the federal government's report, confirms that we were right.
Well,
keep up the fight.
And we, and honestly, like when that report on the money comes out, or the funding, the forensic reporting, we'd love to know more about that. We'd love to talk to you again.
That would be great.
Kevin Solomon is with Common Ground. Thank you so much, Kevin. Really appreciate your time. Thank you for all you've done for the folks who live in these properties. It's a wonderful, it's a step in the right direction. Let's say that. We have news coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Mayer on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom's back in the house, catching up on a very full week and beginning to look ahead. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Suspected CEO killer Luigi Mangione on his way back to New York. He waived his right to extradition this morning in Pennsylvania and was loaded onto a plane. When he arrives in New York, he'll be facing an 11-count indictment that includes first-degree murder and terrorism charges. An appeals court in Georgia has just ruled that Fulton County, Georgia DA Fannie Willis must be disqualified from the racketeering case that she brought against President-elect Donald Trump because Willis hired her then-boyfriend as an investigator. ABC Stephen Portnoy with more on what's next.
This ruling isn't necessarily the final word. DA Fannie Willis could appeal to the Georgia Supreme Court, and her case against Trump, which has been in limbo for months, could in theory continue under a new prosecutor who would be chosen by a statewide DA council. Courts in New York and Georgia have yet to sort out how Trump's re-election to the presidency will impact the state cases against him.
The number of Americans applying for unemployment benefits falling after a big jump the previous week. This is ABC News.